Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Just this past weekend, what's billed as the largest fountain pen show in the world was held in Washington, D.C., in the area. 3 days with more than 200 exhibitors devoted to writing implements. It's not an outlier. Earlier this summer was the Miami Pen Show, and at the end of this month is the San Francisco Pen Show, and in our area, come October, the Long Island Pen Show. Even in this keyboard-centric world, there's a lot of love out there for a good pen that can make a difference when it comes to list-making, journaling, and letter writing. We've had more than one author on this show, like Lauren Groff, who shared that they write at least one draft of their book by hand. And with school around the corner, maybe this year will be the year you or the student in your life will find that perfect pen for note-taking. Studies show that writing longhand helps with cognitive function. Our next guest may have some suggestions for you, from the affordable to the spendy, all while keeping in mind form, function, construction, and desired use. He is the creator of the blog The Pen Addict and the accompanying podcast of the same name. He's a designer and co-founder of the pen accessory company, Not Company. Welcome, Brad Dowdy. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Allison. How are you?
So happy to have you here. Okay, listeners, get on the phone and tell us, what is your favorite pen and why? Or maybe you have a question for Brad about a brand, cost, the difference between nib sizes. We want to hear from you. It is a pen call out. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. We are talking pens. Or you can hit us up on social media at @allofitWNYC. That is Twitter as well as Instagram. We actually have an Insta story up about that, so you can answer the question there. We want to know about your favorite pen. Brad, your podcast has been around about a decade. How did you get into pens?
I mean, it's a lifelong thing. I think anyone who knows, you know, anyone who's not satisfied with, you know, going to work and just grabbing, you know, whatever generic pens laying on the desk, that actually cares about, you know, writing, it has at least, you know, made a decision to go and buy like a nicer gel pen or something like that. So, I mean, it started with when I was a kid, when I was in school, and then that just continued on through my adult life. I started searching out things online on I like to write small. So I wanted, you know, really fine gel ink pens. And in our market in the US, that's not a common thing, right? You and I go to the store, we find like a 0.7 millimeter gel ink pen or a 1.0 millimeter ballpoint pen. Well, that wasn't cutting it for me. So I did some internet digging. This is back in the mid 2000s, and started writing about them online in 2007. And here we are with almost 15 years of blogging at The Pen Addict and a decade old podcast talking about pens.
So I learned from your work that John J. Loud is responsible for what's technically the first patented ballpoint pen. That was in 1888. So more than 220 years later, what's your response to the inevitable question? We'll just get out of the way. Why devote so much time to pens when we are in a keyboard smartphone world?
Yeah, I think even the most digital of us understand that there's something different about writing things down with a pen, a piece of paper, a pencil. Like, it doesn't have to be a special pen or a special notebook or anything like that, but allowing that creative side of your brain to work a little bit differently than, you know, just say, you know, typing on a keyboard or scrolling on your phone and tap inputting some things. It allows you to explore. It allows you to be creative, allows you to be thoughtful, allows you to take a minute, right? Like, everything's so fast these days. So even the most digitally inclined of us like to step back for a minute during our day. We can't be full bore all day online or on our phones. To take a minute, step back, enjoy writing things down for a minute, even if it's your grocery list, right? You don't have to write the next novel or something like that, but you can take a minute to put a few words down on the page, and you're almost always going to come out of that little writing session in a better state than you were before. So yeah, like I obviously think it's very important. And like, I'll readily admit it, it's like, I'm the most digital savvy of anyone. I love all my digital tools and toys, but I wouldn't be, you know, complete on a day-to-day basis if I wasn't writing things down or enjoying my stationery products.
My guest is Brad Dowdy, host of the podcast, The Pen Addict. We want to hear from you. I see calls are coming in. What's your favorite pen and why? Or maybe you have a question for Brad about a brand or a kind of pen or the difference between nib sizes. We want to hear from you. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Social media is at all of it, WNYC, Twitter and Instagram. Okay, I'm going to ask some basics, Brad. So when I'm buying a pen, what am I actually paying for? Am I paying for the ink, the materials, the casing? What causes some of the price fluctuation? And we'll talk about over-the-counter pens. We'll get into the big heavy hitters later. But just your average pen.
Yeah, so your average pen, like if we're going to the store and we're shopping for pens, you're mostly paying for the refill, right? The ink technology, what type of ink you're going to use, ballpoint, gel, rollerball. A lot of the companies these days, that's kind of their big, you know, battleground is, hey, we make this type of ink and it's going to make your writing better, or this is how our ink performs, you know, in this type of pen. So this is better. You then get into like the barrel, right? You can have a very basic barrel and a wonderful refill to use. So the barrel that houses the refill isn't as important. It does raise the price depending on some of the types of pens. But you'll notice, you know, if you go and look at a store shelf, you're going to find that $2 to $3 price range. Everyone kind of lives in that range if you're going to like the office supply store and looking for a new gel pen or a new ballpoint pen. So you're mostly paying for whatever R&D they have put into their ink and then whatever marketing they are using to sell you those pens.
So R&D, research and development into their ink? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, there's all kinds of different ink technologies just in gel ink pens or ballpoint pens. That's a separator for a lot of these companies like Uniball, Pilot, Zebra, Pentel. They all kind of want to sell you, hey, this is our newest ink formulation. Here's why it's better than what we sold you before.
Let's take some calls. Craig is calling in from Marlboro, New Jersey. Hey, Craig, thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? It used to be a pen company called Cross Pens, and they used to look very metallic, like they were gold-plated, but they weren't. But they were a really well-balanced writing pen, and it looked really elite. You used to get them, like, for a graduation or something. But the problem I found was it was very difficult to put in the ink cartridge refills. But otherwise, it was a fantastic writing pen. Thank you.
Craig, thanks for calling in. Where do you come down on Cross? That feels like, to me, sort of the granddaddy of the
Exactly. ball. Yeah. So like Cross is one of those brands that, you know, has changed hands over the years. They still make that kind of core product, you know, what everyone thinks is like the graduation gift pen. And Craig did have a good point that the refill itself, the way you have to separate that barrel on that pen, it was kind of fidgety. It's still kind of that way, and it's not the best refill option, but it still kind of checks the boxes for, hey, I want to gift somebody a pen for a mark a special occasion. It's not something that most people who say like read my blog or listen to the podcast, there's other things that have kind of taken that place, but you still find them out there in the market and popular for, you know, different types of pens. And they even make one of their higher end Cross pens is still like the pen they use, you know, in the U.S. government to sign official paperwork. You know, the Cross Townsend and the different Cross models are still like very important in society. But as far as like a day-to-day or even like a gift-giving purpose, their better days are behind them a little bit.
Thank you for calling in. Mary Ann in the East Village seems like she is a kindred spirit to you, Brad. Hi, Mary Ann. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on with the Pen Addict and on the air.
I'm walking down Avenue A. But so I hope you can hear me. I'm a pen addict, and it's nice to meet another one. I'm going to tune into your podcast.
Nice.
I can't wait. And Pilot G207 Bold, that's my pen right now. They're the best. And I just discovered, I don't know why it took me so long, refills. I was buying new pens all the time, but now I have refills. And I write every day. I go to a cafe in the neighborhood and I sit down and I write, no matter what it is. Grocery list, people I see on the street, conversations I hear, everything. And I can't be without my pen.
Marianne, love it. Thank you for calling in. Let's talk to. Did you want to weigh in on the pen, please?
Yeah, the Pilot G2 is probably the most popular gel ink pen that you just go to the store and pick up. That's kind of everyone's first gateway to say, "Oh, this is a really nice pen compared to what I've been using before." So it's the top selling gel ink pen in the world.
Let's talk to Jeff on line 8, who is calling in from West New York. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Allison. How are you? I've been a big fan of you since your early MTV days, so you've been a part of my life for a long time. Thanks for everything.
Well, I appreciate that.
My favorite, yeah, of course. My favorite pen is actually a really inexpensive pen. It's from Staples. It's called their Optiflow Rollerball Pen. They're fine point. You can get a dozen of them for $15. It writes like an expensive pen, and I've used expensive pens. It writes like an expensive, it's smooth, it's concise, it never leaks. It's my favorite, and it's really inexpensive.
Thanks for the hot tip. We appreciate it. And thank you for listening. I like growing up with you. Appreciate it. Let's go to, okay, this is a wild story. Let's go to Johnny on line 9, calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, Johnny. You're on the air with Brad Dowdy, the pen addict.
Hi, how you doing? It's great to be here. I have a little story. When I was a little kid, I discovered a painting, a watercolor painting, of University Avenue looking down over Manhattan. And in the back of the painting was a letter from George Washington. I had discovered it where I ripped the butcher paper that was in the back. And I saw this beautiful cursive old English writing. And I was incredibly enthralled. And from there in, I got into quills and pens, into graffiti, and so on. And it was just wild.
Okay, that is an amazing story.
That is wild.
I love, you know, even if it was... partially true or all true. I'll just take it. I'll take it at face value about the pen part of it and about the calligraphy part of it. Where do you, we're going to get into some basic pens, but where do you stand on something like a quill pen?
I mean, they have their use on your desk for like a special occasion. If you want to feel like fancy and write a letter and use like iron gall ink, you know, that's got like a permanent ink and some parchment paper and do something, you know, that makes you feel, you know, throwback to history. It's obviously not super functional. You know, you're just going to have a hard time writing with it, dipping in an inkwell, writing for a few letters, dipping again back and forth. But like, it's a fun like process thing to do, to spend some time doing it. You just wouldn't want to do it every day.
My guest is Brad Dowdy, host of the podcast, The Pen Addict, and the blog of the same name. We'll get to more of your calls in a minute. I did want to point out that on your blog, you have a top 5 pens vertical and different categories. And so I want to go through a couple of the different categories while we get some more callers lined up. You have your gel pens categories. Now, two Pilot pens end up on here. Pilot Juice Up 0.4 millimeter and Pilot High Tech 0.3 millimeter. Before we even get into that, what is this, the 0.4, 0.7, 1.0 millimeter? What is that referring to?
Yep. So that's the tip size of the pen. Basically, how wide of a line you're going to get. The larger the number, like a 1.0 millimeter is going to write a much wider line on the page than, say, a 0.38 millimeter, which is kind of my sweet spot. That's kind of what got the blog started, is once I discovered I can get pens with a 0.38 millimeter tip, which is very rare in the U.S. Like, you go to the store, you'll see 0.5 millimeter some, mostly 0.7 and then 0.1. So that's what those definitions mean.
So for the Pilot High Tech C 0.3 millimeter, you said it's on your list, even though you describe it as being potentially finicky.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by finicky, and why is it worth it even for that?
Yeah. So this is almost like a technical pen. And so that's why it falls into this micro gel ink pen category. This kind of isn't a category for like most people. This is for like specialty use. So it has a very technical tip, which means it's very, very sensitive to the type of paper you're using, right? It can pick up fibers, like if you're using a poorer quality paper, and clog the tip. So it gets to be a little bit frustrating, but it's one of those pens that when it works, it's unlike any other pen that you've used, especially if you're okay with writing in a very, very fine line like that. But it can be problematic just because of its design. And you know, it could be, you know, the lines could skip, the paper could clog, but it's such a different pen. It definitely warranted being, you know, ranked up there in the top 5.
Uniball is on your list as well. Uniball Signo DX 0.38 millimeters. You also have the Uniball Signo RT 0.38 millimeters. What is special or different about these pens as opposed to the Pilots? Or why is this such a pen that you endorse?
Yeah, they make the best gel ink pens, for, at least in the micro tip size, the 0.5 and below. I think there's a better choice in once you get up to like 0.7 millimeters, which we can talk about in a minute. But the 0.38 Uniball pens have such good gel ink, and they have such good technical like manufacturing that the line is very consistent. There's no skipping. The lines aren't messy, right? You don't get like a blob of ink on your paper randomly. And they come in a lot of different colors, which not all of these brands will expand outside of black, blue, and red inks. You can get purple and orange and green. And the quality is great. They're not the easiest to find, just off the store shelf. So there's actually better options for that. But what they do is they have just a wonderful ink, lots of great, vibrant colors, and just a consistent quality, which is what you want.
All right. I have a favorite gel pen, and I'd like your thoughts. And then if you hear this pen and think, well, not so much, maybe you can suggest one that I might like. Okay. I fell in love with the Zebra Pen Blend Retractable Gel Pen, 0.7 millimeter. It's got a white barrel. I found it in a bookstore in Connecticut, and I've been obsessed with this pen ever since.
So that pen in my little world is kind of a big deal. When you told me you liked that pen, I was like, no way. that's not a pen most people stumble across, because it's only been in the US for a couple of years. It started when they launched it in Japan, when Zebra Japan launched it, it kind of came out of nowhere. And I follow most of the Japanese stationery going on, because that all of these companies we're talking about are really based in Japan, and they have US subsidiaries. So the blend all of a sudden came out on this list that I follow every year. There's like a vote for everyone's favorite pen that this one website does. And out of the blue, like, I feel pretty good about what I know about pens. The blend came in at number 2 on that list, and I'd never heard of it. And I was like, what is this? So I got a friend from Japan, sent me some, and it's really, really good. So you did good with that. What the blend does, it's like this hybrid ink technology. It's supposed to be very smooth, very dark lines, right? There's no skipping in your lines. It's a solid line. You don't see like any white space in there. But what they did with the barrel is made it quiet. And a lot of people don't look at those types of things unless you're someone like myself who obsesses over this stuff. But a lot of times when you'll be writing with a retractable pen, you'll hear like a clicking noise or just kind of a click clack when the tip, you know, comes off the page. And the blend was designed, they designed the barrel to eliminate kind of all the inner noise of the pen. So it's quiet, it's smooth, it's super high quality. So yeah, super good job by you.
I feel unreasonably proud of myself now. for no really good reason. I'm beaming over here. I'm ridiculous. Let's take some more calls. Derek on the Upper West Side on line 5. Hi, Derek. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking the call. I'm a former collector in my earlier days, or working days, and my favorite was the Rotring Quad Point. It's a German manufacturer, and I came to discover them when I, as a salesman, closed on the American Society of Civil Engineers, and all the engineers were using this pen that dazzled me. It's a metal barrel, 0.05 millimeter pencil lead with 3 fine tip ink points, red, green, and blue. And you could, when you push the plunger, depending on which side of the pen was pointed skyward, that's the ink that would drop out, or the pencil that would drop out. It was really well made, and I don't know if they still make them, but that was my favorite. And just as an aside, my fiance at the time, she was working for a presidential law firm and was enamored with my love of pens. And she clued me to her favorite, which was not the pen, but the ink. She clamored about this erasable ink that the lawyers liked. And I thought that was interesting, because why would a lawyer want to erase ink? But I just throw that out there.
Derek, thanks for calling in.
Yes, Brad? I'm nodding my head vigorously with the Rotring talk. One of the best classic pen brands. They still make some products these days. They, you know, as with most companies, they're maybe a little bit past their heyday, but they've started to get into the real like hobbyist part of things. They make my favorite mechanical pencil, which is called the Rotring 600. But his multi-pen was essentially what he was describing. Like if you're familiar with the Bic four-color pen, the Rotring model that he's describing, yeah, a lot of the German manufacturers like Rotring, Lamy, made four-color ballpoints back like in the 90s and stuff like that. So yeah, erasable ink has always been, and it's been around, I don't know, I've started noticing it in the 80s with the terrible Paper Mate. Erase Mate, I think was what it was called. It was awful, but there are actually gel ink pens that Pilot makes, the Pilot Friction, you know, in the last decade or so, that's actually quite good. It really works. You have a good gel ink pen and you can erase it. It comes in handy for a lot of people. Lawyers, I'm surprised it comes in handy for them, but for everyone else, yeah, go for it.
Let's talk to Joe calling in from Manhattan. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling all of it. Are you there? Ooh, I sort of hear you. I think I'm going to try one more time. Hi, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, this is Joe. I think I have a, I won't call it a stumper, but perhaps a use of pens that your guest has maybe never heard of. There were these crafts people who used to make desk sets. They worked from Juneau, Alaska in 1913. Through Seattle, Washington, in the 1950s, and because I used to collect their craft, I noticed early on that they always used Wall Eversharp pens, and I would run into these desk set pieces. Some of them with carved ivory, a lot of them with ornate copper work, mm-hmm. And I was able to date those pieces because the pen that came with it was only made during a specific time period by Wall Eversharp. And sometimes I didn't even have the pen, but only the receptacle that the desk set pen would fit into. And I could tell through research which of the Wall Eversharp pens was supposed to go into that receptacle.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It's helped me write. Yeah. About those craftspeople who one of their biggest productions was in desk set pieces, which can include everything from, you know, blotters to calendars to whatever, stamp boxes.
Yeah.
But they always had a desk pen.
That's so interesting. Thank you for calling in, Brad. That idea that you can use pens almost sort of as a part of archaeology, I guess, a time yeah. stamping and time dating various
absolutely.
Other objects.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I haven't seen the Wall Eversharp desk sets that he's talking about, but they made one of the most popular pens back in the 50s, 60s, I don't know, mid 1900s, called the Skyline. It was just a very kind of uniquely shaped fountain pen. And the brand went away, I don't know exactly when, 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s, but it was the name was bought up, I don't know, in the last decade or so. And they've started making modern pens under the Wall Eversharp name. So definitely check those out.
We will get to more of your pen calls. Our lines are full for our guest, Brad Dowdy. He is the host of podcast, The Pen Addict. We'll talk about some of the over-the-counter pens you can get, and then we will wade into the world of the fountain pen. This is all of it. This is All of It. My guest this hour is the host of the podcast, The Pen Addict, Brad Dowdy, also the name of the website where he has his top five pens and so much more. That's just the headline, Brad. You're also my guest, listeners, 212-433-9692. We're hearing about your favorite pens and why as we got some people holding and more calls lined up. I did want to shout out someone on Twitter because one of the pens in this tweet is on your list, Brad. It's Geneva who says, Pentel RSVP. 4 exclamation points, and Pentel Energel, sheer bliss. The Pentel Energel is on your list for the category pens in the store. First of all, what does pens in the store mean?
Essentially, just anything we can go out to the grocery store, the convenience store, the office supply store. We're just going to find it on the store shelf, right? Something easily accessible that you don't have to go online and shop at like one of these specialty vendors to get the Japanese imported pen, right? This is the most common type of pen that you run across. And I must say, I agree with the tweet. I actually think I am due for a top five pen update, and I might put the Pentel Intergel at number one on this list. It is that good of a pen. It's a gel ink pen. It comes in a lot of great colors. Most of them are 0.7 millimeter. They do dabble a little bit in 0.5 millimeter, but most of the ones you're going to find on the shelf are 0.7. I prefer it. This is where I'll get the mail. I prefer it over the Pilot G2. I prefer it over the Uniball Signo. It's right up there. The Papermate Inkjoy and the new Sharpie S-Gel are all in there, but I think the Pentel Intergel is the best gel ink pen that you can just go grab off the store shelf.
Another one on the list is the Sharpie pen, which I think is really interesting. And I was curious, what do you make of a brand like Sharpie? Sharpie has become like Kleenex or Band-Aid. You say, go get me a Sharpie, and you mean a fat marker.
Right.
And now they've gotten into this, the tiny, tiny micro Sharpie. What do you make of that move?
Well, I number one, I love Sharpie. Number two, I think it's a great move. And number three, they have a naming problem by calling this the Sharpie pen. Because when you and I say Sharpie, we're thinking permanent marker, right? Or say Sharpie pen, give me a Sharpie, just like you said, just like Kleenex. What the Sharpie pen is like a drawing pen, right? It's like a small little felt tip. It's not permanent like most Sharpies that, you know, just in the general discussion are permanent markers, but it's a really fantastic pen to use. Now, it doesn't have a metal tip, you know, like we're talking about our gel pens and our ballpoint pens, right? It's like a plastic tip, but it's kind of like an art drawing type of pen, and it's really, really good. It was a huge surprise when Sharpie released these at how good that they were, and they're still available. You can, you know, go down to the store, grab a 3-pack of them, and they're really enjoyable pens.
Let's take some more calls. Kathleen is calling in. She's on line four. Hey, Kathleen, thank you for holding. You're from Hoboken, New Jersey, and you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I just want to do a little shout out for hotel pens. It's very funny that this show's going on today because on my to-do list is that I have to go to a Marriott and beg somebody to give me some hotel pens from there because I love Marriott hotel pens. And I'm very particular about my ballpoints. I don't like gel. So if Marriott, if you're listening, I'll take a case.
Thanks for calling in. I love that's on somebody's to-do list. Do you have strong feelings, ballpoint versus gel, Brad?
I wouldn't say strong feelings. I generally prefer a fine-tip gel pen. But over the years, I've actually come to love ballpoint pens even more than I did maybe 10 or 15 years ago because the quality has ramped up so much that they're such a joy to use. Like the Uniball Jetstream was the number one pen that you could buy at the store that I recommend, and I still recommend just constantly, and I use it constantly because it's just such a nice writer, and they tend not to be as messy as like a rollerball or a gel ink pen. You know, there's not as necessarily as much liquid on the page, so you don't smear them with your hands or, you know, bleed into the paper. So I'm a huge ballpoint proponent, so I will stand up for the ballpoint any day of the week.
And your top two are, you said it was the Uniball Jetstream, and if you had to put a backup?
Yeah, the Uniball Jetstream and the Uniball Signo 307 were kind of the top two in the store. I said before, though, the Pentel Intergel, it deserves to be in that conversation.
Let's talk to John on line nine, calling in from New Brunswick. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Let's hear about your favorite writing implement.
I love the Zebra 301. I think 301's... discovered it like 25, 30 years ago, and I still use it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
but I also have I'm sorry?
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I also have a quirky story about a friend of mine. He, 1 year, starting on January 1st, he wanted to use the same pens for the entire year, and he wanted to be the only person using that pen. So he had like three stick pens, I guess common everyday stick pens. One was black, one was red, and one was blue. And he used it every day of the year. And when somebody would ask me, hey, can I borrow a pen? He said, no, I'm using it. I'm doing it. And he wanted to go through the entire year using those pens, being the only person to use those pens. That story always brings a smile to my face whenever I think about it.
I hope he was successful.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that guy.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Thomas, who actually is pulled over with a question. He's from upstate New York. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for pulling over.
Hi there. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it.
Hi there. So, yeah, my question is about my favorite pen I cannot find anymore. It was the Parker Vector fountain pen, which used to be available in every drugstore. It was a disposable fountain pen, refillable with cartridges. It was very easy to use, wrote wonderfully, and I can't find them anywhere anymore. I don't know if they make them anymore, and I was curious if there are any good corollaries available these days, if not those, or if I'm just not looking in the right place. I mean, I haven't looked online to order them on Amazon in a while, I guess. But, like, what's available for that kind of entry-level fountain pen these days? Because I don't think that there's many available anymore.
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of us grew up with the Vector rollerball, and then they had a fountain pen option. And I don't know if it went away for a while, but they started remaking them here in the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, pretty recently. So you can find them. I don't know exactly where, but like they are available. They are making current versions of that. For another entry-level fountain pen that's pretty accessible, you might have to do a little bit of digging. That's going to be similar to the Vector, where the Vector has a metal barrel. So a lot of fountain pens, especially entry-level ones, are plastic barrels, which is completely fine. But to get the similar feel as the Vector, you want to look at a pen called the Pilot Metropolitan. It's in that same kind of like $15 to $20 price range. And it's got a great metal barrel. It's got a great nib. And I think that would be pretty comparable to the Vector. It's a little bit wider than the Vector. The Vector was always known to be like a skinny barrel pen. So it had that unique style and that Parker Aero clip. But as far as like feel and quality, the Pilot Metropolitan is a really, really good comparison.
My guest is Brad Dowdy, host of the podcast, The Pen Addict. We're starting to run out of time, so I think we're probably going to have you be back. But I did want to touch on fountain pens because I did promote it. What is a good starter fountain pen? Let's start with sort of in the affordable range, and then we'll talk about maybe one pie in the sky one.
Okay, so just like I said, the Pilot Metropolitan is a kind of a great starting point for people who are looking for it. Kind of meets the expectations of what you think is a fountain pen, right? That's why I tend to recommend it so much. Right in that same range is a pen called the Lamy Safari. If you're into stationery, even just like a little bit, you might have heard of the brand Lamy. And the Safari is a plastic barrel pen that they've been making for about 50 years now, I think, 40 or 50 years. And it started out as one of the school pens in Germany, but it kind of grew out of that into like a nicer, everyone can use it pen. And it's just real durable. It's more like in where the Metropolitan's in the $15 to $20 range, the Lamy Safari's in the $25 range. And then you start moving up into a few different brands that you can get. The Twisby Eco, if you're willing to use a piston filling fountain pen, which is a completely different conversation. That's like a $35 pen, and you basically, you get a bottle of ink and you fill it all the way up just in the barrel. There's no cartridge or converter for you to put in there. So those are kind of like the three main ones. And then all the way back down to the cheapest end, for $5, you can get a pen called the Platinum Preppy. That's probably the best pen to say, hey, I want to try out a fountain pen without blowing the budget. For under $5, you can get a really, really high quality fountain pen.
All right, last quick question, and then we have to wrap. We're getting a lot of calls about advice for a pen for left-handers.
Yes, so the pens like the Uniball Jetstream and the pens like your Zebra Blend, what they use is a hybrid ink technology, and a lot of it is, they don't necessarily say smear proof, but ballpoints, the way the oil formulation of the ink doesn't smear as much as your gel or rollerball ink pen. So you want to start with a ballpoint. After that, we have to start talking at quick drying gel ink pens, which Zebra makes, Zebra Sarasa Dry. So if you don't like ballpoints but want a gel, you can look for companies that are starting to make quick drying pens, and the Zebra Sarasa Dry is one you want to look at.
Brad, we're definitely going to have you back. We couldn't get to all of our callers. I somehow knew. I love new audience would love pens as much as I love pens. Thank you so much. The name of the podcast is The Pen Addict. You should also check out the website if you are into pens. Brad, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Allison.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.